This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this particular session is a message that was first published back in the month of November of the year 2003. And it's being put on audio here in the month of 2024. So that is roughly about, what did I say, November? It's October of the year 2003, and it's being put on audio in the month of March of the year 2024. That's a little over 20 years ago. It hasn't gotten up to 21 years, but about a little over 20 years ago this message was published. And the reason why I give you the dates is simply because of the fact that sometimes during the reading of the message I might make mention of certain individuals, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that this message was published that may or may not be relevant today. However, let me say this, as I always do, when it comes down to the Word of God, His Word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and if the Lord tarries 6,000 years from now, it will still be relevant. And those that are exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and adjust your lives accordingly to it. Now, our subject scripture is found in the Book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 2 and verses number 8 and 9. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The title for this message is "There Will Be No Catholics in Heaven." Let me repeat that. There will be no Catholics in heaven. Now hold on a minute, my Catholic friends, before you go off in a huff thinking I'm picking on you. The fact of the matter is, just as I stated in the title, when that day comes, talking about the day that those that are allowed into heaven, and if it were allowed and God permitted us to question Him as to what the qualifications He used when he made his decisions on how or who got into heaven, nowhere will we find that a person being a Catholic ensured them entry into heaven. In fact, that one characteristic could be the reason that they may be in hell. Now, to be fair, let me add this. It doesn't matter what denomination you are part of. That will not guarantee you being in heaven. And as I said, it may very well be that your religious affiliation may be the reason you are going to be in hell. Now, why am I saying this? It is because today, many people that call themselves Christians do so simply because they are not a part of other false religions, and because they hold membership in a particular church or denomination. They could be members in good standing or even excellent standing. They may know the pastor or bishop personally. They may even be the pastor or the bishop. They could be on the deacon board or in the upper echelons of the church. And meaning no disrespect, it could be that they are the Pope or even Mother Teresa. It makes no difference. Their denomination or position in the church has nothing to do with whether they get into heaven. For as the scripture says, you are saved by grace through faith and not by works, meaning any good deeds or things that the Bible says that you should be doing, unless any man should boast. Now my point is this. I want you to read or listen to this carefully. Many Christians tend to believe that their church affiliation or their good deeds make them shoo-ins to heaven. They figure that depending on what church they belong to, they already are ahead of most others. Then they add on the good deeds they have done, how much money they have given to the poor, and how many times they go to church, and they know they have it made. And it is this same attitude that will condemn them to hell. Why? Because it completely leaves out some things that God has said in other scriptures in the Bible. The subject scripture is the key because it removes all consideration of things that one can do or how well they can do it. If, as many believe, works were the key to getting into heaven, then most of us would never come close to making it in. Why? Because most of us are not rich. Most of us can barely help ourselves, let alone give hundreds, thousands, or even millions of dollars to someone else. How could we compete with millionaires? If position were the key, then again, many of us would be in trouble. unless someone in a position of authority liked you and appointed you to that high position in the church, then you would be out there all in the cold, wouldn't you? In other words, you'd be out there, no way to get into in the higher positions in the church. So that would leave you out of a position that many people think that if you attain that position, that you have a shoe-in position or getting into the church, into heaven. Your chances would be more favorable of getting in because of that higher position. But that's not the case. Let's go back to the message here. If the church denomination were the key, then it is clear most, if not all, Christians would be in trouble, because who knows which one, which church denomination is the right one. They all say that they are the right one. It would be, pardon my expression, a crapshoot where you roll the dice and take what you get. When it comes to these things, as you can see, there are a lot of inequities. Not only that, but it brings about pride and contempt in those who are in these good positions and looking down on those of us that are less fortunate. If I were rich and I gave lots of money to organizations that help the poor, or I gave it to the poor directly, I might get into a position where I would want these people to honor or even worship me. And it wouldn't be too far-fetched for me to expect God to do the same thing to me. Read this passage of Scripture so you can see what I mean. Go to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 18, and we're going to start reading from verse number 10. That's Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 10. And we find this parable here. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse number 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse number 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, what is the message here? It is, no matter how good you think you are in the sight of men or yourself, God is not impressed. Now, that Pharisee was the equivalent of a church leader. So replace him with your denomination or perhaps your pastor, bishop, or even the Pope, or maybe Mother Teresa, and read that passage again as if it was one of them boasting about what they were doing. Do you see the point? No one or no denomination has anything to brag about, and if they are relying on what they are doing, they are in for a big surprise. So having said that, then where do works come in? They come in after and only after the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In other words, they come in after you have been born again or saved. Then your works become a testimony of your obedience to Christ. Doing the works without the first step of being born again means that you are in effect doing them to feed your own ego. The Bible even addresses this. It says in Romans chapter number 2, verse number 14, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." When you see the word Gentile, it is referring to one that is not born again or saved. So, to best explain what it is that this scripture is saying, let me give you an example. A person, let's call him Jim, is looking for a job. He happens upon a group of people standing outside a plant at the beginning of the day shift. He sees a sign saying that they are hiring. So when the gates open, he walks in with the others and goes into the plant and follows the others into an area where there are several tables and sits down with the rest of the people. Shortly, some supervisors come out and pick among them and take them to workstations to put them to work. And Jim happens to be picked by one of the supervisors, so he goes with him, and the supervisor puts him to work. At the end of the day, Jim's supervisor tells him that he has done such a great job that he wants him to report to him every day when he comes in. So for the next week, Jim reports to the same supervisor and does the job that he was assigned and gets rave reviews about his work. Then comes payday. Jim's supervisor comes up to him to give him his check and realizes that there isn't one for him in the bunch. The supervisor says he will check with payroll to see what happened to it. After much searching and investigation, they can't find a check for Jim. So they come and get Jim and bring him to the personnel office, and the personnel director asks Jim what day was he hired, and Jim gives them the date that he started. After more checking, they asked him what person he talked to in the office and Jim tells them he didn't talk to anyone in the office. After answering a few more questions, it was determined that Jim wasn't hired by anyone, but just came in the wrong entrance to the gate with the employees. He entered the employee gate rather than the employment gate, which is at the other end of the block. The end result is they tell Jim that because he wasn't hired in the first place, they don't owe him any pay. Now, they may give him something because of the work that he did, but he will not be on the list of employees until he goes through the correct channels and gets hired in. That is the same way it is with people that belong to a church or do things that God says they should be doing, yet they are not saved. The church is full of them. All denominations have people in them that think just because they belong to the church, because their names are on the roll, that they are going to heaven. Because they are doing some good things, they will receive something for their efforts, but it will only be in this life. Now, let me explain this part here. See, God will bless people for doing good deeds among the people in this life. This has nothing to do with the spiritual side of things. But, you know, just like, let's say, for instance, you got a man and a woman that have chosen not to have sex until they get married. And so they get married and they have sex, start having sex. Now, mind you, they aren't saved. Let's say they aren't saved, but you know, they're married. Just like my wife and I, well, no, I won't use that because neither one of us was saved. She got saved before I did. But the thing is, let's say neither one is saved, but they get married. Well, see, as far as the fact of them committing fornication or adultery, and let's say they're true to each other, they only have eyes for each other, they aren't messing around or nothing. Well, because of that, God will honor their marriage and bless their marriage and bless them with children and things like that. But that by no means opens the door for them to get into heaven, because they are totally committed to each other and not fooling around or committing an adultery. That has nothing to do with it. And see, God blesses a lot of people out here for doing good deeds. I mean, you know, we got atheists and everybody else that give money to the poor, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, provide shelter for people that are homeless, and do all sorts of good things that the church is supposed to be doing. But even though they're doing all this stuff, does not mean that they're going to go into heaven. You know why? Because they haven't followed the rules. They're doing what they feel should be done, but because of their rejection of Christ or ignoring what God has to say about how you have to be born again and such, they're still going to end up in hell. Are you understanding me? All right, back to the message. The only way they will get into heaven is if they go about it the right way, which is what I was just saying. Jesus said in St. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Let me ask you something. What would you do if you found someone trying to come into your house through a back window? Well, trying to get into heaven any other way than God has set, and that is being born again, is the same thing. If you're trying to get into heaven any other way other than being born again, you the same as a thief and a robber. That's what Jesus was addressing here. Being born again means entering into a sort of a marriage relationship with Jesus Christ. And marriage means commitment. No marriage will stand the test of time unless the husband and wife are totally committed to each other and the vows that they took in the sight of God. Well, the Bible tells us that the church, those that are born again, are the true church, and that the church, the true church, is the bride of Christ. When we do things in obedience to Christ, then we are showing our commitment to Him. If a person is not born again, yet they are doing the same things that we are doing, they have no such commitment and therefore could, if they felt like it, just walk away and think nothing about it. Jim could have stopped coming to that plant anytime he felt like it, and nothing would have been said. In other words, Jim wasn't hired into the plant, so if he decided one day, I'm just not going to go to work anymore, well, you know, guess what? The plant can't fire him because he was never hired in the first place. You understand? Now, he had no commitment to that plant because he was never truly hired. People that work out of temporary employment agencies can come to work if and when they feel like it, and nothing is said if they don't show up. They are actually self-employed. By the same token, because they are in this position, they don't enjoy all of the benefits of that employees have, that those that are employed by employers do. Employee benefits and stuff, you know, like paid holidays, paid vacations, paid weekdays, so many free sick days and all that stuff. See, when you're self-employed, if you don't come to work or something like that, or, you know, decide you don't feel like working or something like that, you're going to be losing out on your pay or something if you don't. Employers and employees and benefits, you know, one of the things in employee benefits is people get paid sick days. You get sick and you self-employed, you just out of money. How you gonna get paid if you don't work? You see what I'm saying? That's self-employed versus employees. Maybe you can understand it like this. If you are not employed by Christ or born again, then don't look for the benefits that are designated for those that are. Notice, I didn't say employed by a church or a denomination. Who are you truly employed by? Christ or yourself? Well, that's the end of this message, and I hope that you, all of you, got something from this. And let me reiterate this again, I'm not picking on Catholics, but the message is, most people, if we would be honest and be frank about it, most people look at the Catholic Church and the Pope as the epitome of, if anybody's going to be in heaven, then the Catholics are going to be there because of their celibacy vows. You know, the nuns with their celibacy vows, and the cardinals and the bishops and things, and the Pope and so forth. Supposedly the spokesperson, if you were, or the vicar to Christ. If anybody has the eye or the ear of God, it's the Pope and things like that. So everybody looks at the Catholic Church and says, well, surely if a person is Catholic, they automatically gonna be in. No, they are not. In fact, like I said, in some instances, the fact that people believe that because they are Catholics that they're going to go into heaven, there's going to be a big wake-up call for them when the time comes. I can remember, I'm not going to mention her name, but she's a popular politician in Washington. Everybody knows her, and she's one of the leaders in her party. And I heard her one day at a press conference. She was talking with somebody, and somebody said something to her, and she turned around and said, that they better watch who they're talking to. Don't they know that she's a Catholic? See, she thinks that because she's a Catholic, that she's got some sort of high position or something with God, when in actuality, because of the way that she thinks, and the things that her party supports, this woman, when the time comes, if she don't change her ways, is gonna bust hell wide open, along with everybody else in her party, many of which are Catholics. It could go the same thing true for the Republican Party, but see, the Democratic Party's agenda, everything that they stand for essentially goes against what the Bible says is right and wrong. So in that aspect, that's why I'm picking on the Catholics. Do you understand? So it's not that I'm picking on them and them alone. This goes for any church denomination: Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Church of God in Christ, Apostolic, Pentecostal, or whatever. If a person is not saved, I don't care who they are, what church they belong to, what denomination, what position in the church, what they've done all their lives, they are not going to be in heaven. And the same thing goes for you, Y-O-U. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message. And as I say, I hope that you got something from it. And in closing, let me say this as I always do. May God bless you and your families real good until we come together again for another message. Good day.